welcome to the Fantasy Rewind Podcast. I'm your co-host, Dylan Stoll, and I'm joined, as always, by my friend Mike.
Hey!
So today, we are going to put a trident in this and call it done with Percy Jackson and the Olympians finale, episode 8, which is titled...
The Prophecy Comes True.
The Prophecy Comes True. What prophecy, you might ask? Well, you'll find out in just a minute here.
I'm not reciting that.
No. I'm saying, like, we'll get into the discussion after this. Yeah. So, typical reminder time. If you want to get in contact with the show, send us an email, which is fantasyrewindpod@gmail.com. We're also on X, which is @fantasyrewind, or Instagram, which is @fantasyrewindpod. All right, Mike, without any farther delay, let's dive into the rewind.
Fantasy Rewind. All right, Dylan. Episode 8, The Prophecy Comes True. The finale. The fight between Ares and Percy. The rescue of the bolt. The return to Zeus. Almost getting fried. And then, the twist. All in one episode. On top of, like, Percy's mom and, you know, all that. All the little details I got sprinkled in between. But, I mean, honestly, that's kind of like the whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot in this episode. It really was a good, like, wrap-up. It felt like a finale.
It did. That fight between Percy and Ares, I felt like, was pretty good. It was a nice, like, showing of Percy, I guess, learning how to use a sword within a few months. All his lessons.
As he fights the god of war. And so, for me, to talk about that scene in particular, I just want to make it clear how utterly ridiculous it is that Percy, a kid who barely knows how to swing a sword, was able to draw first blood on Ares, the god of war. But, at the same time, I say that, and that's exactly why he was able to draw first blood on Ares. Because Ares did not take him serious. He did not think that Percy stood a chance, which he didn't. But because Ares took for granted his own prowess and Percy's lack of prowess in sword fighting, Percy was able to catch him by surprise and pull off a little trickery to get that first blood. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
No, I think that was really, that's kind of where I was hoping either I or you would get to, is that it was really Ares' self, you know, his overconfidence and his abilities. And honestly, like, if it was a fight to the death, Ares would have won, right?
Oh, he would have stomped.
Yeah, not even close. But Percy just needed to get the blood. And right. He did use his dad's help to get that.
Yeah, little Poseidon help.
Yeah, and also, too, you could tell Ares was kind of toying with him a little bit at the beginning. Like,
exactly, yeah.
Let me play around and, yeah, just make this last, savor it. And it's like, Percy's like, okay, that's fine. And he flashed back to his sword practice with Luke, and I liked that because obviously how the episode ends, you know, it's just furthering the connection between Luke and Percy. But I'm sitting there like, Percy was at camp for like 3 days.
Yeah, yes.
You know, a little stretch there, but it's okay.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I think that the flashback was nice to solidify that connection between Percy and Luke, but I think that it made it the fight a little more serious than it needed to be. Because the fight was Ares toying around with Percy, and Percy trying like all hell to find a way to scratch Ares on the ankle, which he was able to do. And it wasn't his ankle, but like, you know what I mean? But yeah, like, Percy had to pull out all the tricks he could think of to get a little scratch on Ares, and then Ares got pissed and almost went full God of War mode on him.
Oh, yeah.
Before he got stopped.
Yeah, which was good. It's good that didn't happen. Yeah. And also, too, like, I like that you brought that up. Grover kind of pointed out, too, they're not in their god forms, like, when we see them, because if they were...
Right.
It would smite you, like, where you stand. It would melt you to your core. Like, you wouldn't be able to handle it, all that godliness.
It'd be Indiana Jones in the Ark of the Covenant, face melting. You can't look at a god.
Oh, yeah. I almost thought you were going to say Crystal Skull, and I was going to say, no, Dylan, we don't speak of that. We don't speak of that one here. And I haven't even watched the new one. Did you watch the new one?
It's actually really good.
Oh, that is exciting, actually. I'll have to check that out. Disney Plus,
I think. I would recommend it. I'd recommend it.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay. All right. Back to Percy. Now, after this fight, he gets the Helm of Darkness. He gives it to the Fury, who that's what they were looking for the entire time, not the Bolt. And
it was ironic.
Yeah, it was ironic. And he's going to get his mom back. And we do see her later on. But yeah, it was kind of cool. And you know what was really interesting who played that Fury? Megan Mullarky? Nick Offerman's wife. I don't remember her name. Megan Merkel?
I was going to say, I thought that's who you were going with, and it's not Megan Merkel, because she's the princess in retirement of stuff right now or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, wasn't her, though.
No. I'm going to have to look it up now. But anyway, So then we get the plan. The plan to just go up. It's Megan Mullally. Megan Mullally. She's the one in Parks and Rec who's like the librarian. And yeah, she's playing that Fury. Isn't that funny? She's been a lot of stuff recently. Yeah. Anyway, side tangent on that. We've gone off in a few different directions.
That's okay.
I don't hate it at all, actually. But we get the plan that Percy is going to go to Zeus and return the Bolt. And he does just that. And lo and behold, the Empire State Building at the very top on the tippity top floor is none other than the Temple of the God. Or not the Temple of Gods, the like where they live, Olympus. And Percy shows up and approaches Zeus and basically is like, here's your bolt back, we didn't steal it. And it's Zeus is still like, we're gonna have a war because we're gonna have a war. And Poseidon comes forward and basically surrenders, which was a big deal because gods don't do that, right? But it was kind of cool to see that Percy had impacted change in that level, at least with his dad.
I mean, I honestly felt like Zeus was being very unreasonable.
Oh, yeah. But that's the gods.
Very pig-headed. And yeah, exactly.
That's the gods.
I'm saying that is exactly who the gods are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, RIP to the actor who played Zeus, because he is no longer with us.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Well, he did a good job.
He died before the series was released, too.
Oh, no.
So like, I'm pretty sure there is like a rest in peace or in memory of whatever the actor's name is.
I saw that at the end, but I thought that might have been, I didn't know who that was. And you saying that, like, oh no, that, oh, I was, yeah, that stinks. Yeah. So the bolt's accepted. The war's over. Percy returns to camp a hero with just a few enemies, you know, Ares' children.
Real quick, I do think that we kind of glossed over Percy meeting his dad for the first time there.
Oh, yeah, we did. You want to talk about that?
You start us off there.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool, like, the first interaction Percy has with his dad is seeing his dad sort of, like,
Save his life,
and, you know, surrender to Zeus. And there was a really, actually, it was a very nice interaction between the two, and Percy's asking him questions, and there was even a flashback, which I thought was really great. That was a really powerful scene throughout this where, you know, it's Percy going with his mom to the new school where he eventually meets Grover. And, you know, Percy's and his mom is at this restaurant where before Percy's going to get dropped off at the school. And his mom is talking to Poseidon's like, you know, do you want to see him? And he's like, I can't. And you kind of really get like, heartbreak, and also too how much his mom like really was trying to make connections and make sure like his dad at least had some awareness of him. And I just thought that was so great that they did that, because it really brings forward like Percy knowing all these stories and also his mom really wanting him to know who he was before he went into their world. And she said that because once he goes into your world, like, I know what's going to happen. And so he needed to be prepared and have some confidence in himself and his abilities and who he was. I was like, wow, that's so powerful. Like, that's great. Loved it. It made me really
happy. It was good. I liked that scene quite a bit. It was touching. Yeah.
But I thought the scene between Poseidon and Percy was good, though. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that they're... It's basically leaving you wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's doing that for a reason. So I think that it's a part of it is because it's like, yeah, I know about you now. Everyone knows about you now, but you're still a forbidden child. So there's still going to be consequences for you existing.
Yeah. And they really haven't gotten into why the forbidden child thing so much.
I think that'll be more season two or beyond.
Yes, that will be more season two. That will be more season two. There is a reason Thalia was also a forbidden child and her fate. And we'll learn more about that. And maybe any other forbidden children.
Oh, ho, ho.
Yeah. But I really want to get to this part. So we get back to camp. He's a hero. Woo! Big celebration. Yada, yada, yada. You have obviously some animosity between the children of Ares now and
oh yeah
Percy because yeah. You mess with our daddy.
Never mind. Your daddy was trying to release Kronos.
Yeah. We're going to gloss over that part. But I think the big thing here is Luke, right? That revealed Luke was the one all along pulling the strings here. He was the one who had stolen the Master Bolt, you know, got Ares involved, planted it on Percy, and, you know,
gave him the shoes that were going to take him to Tartarus.
Yes. And he wants to recruit Percy to help and fight against the gods because they've done nothing for their children except bring heartache and pain, and all these rules are archaic and there's just so much wrong, right? Angsty teen.
Angsty teen is for sure.
Yeah. So that reveal was, I thought, really well done and clever and heartbreaking a little bit when we see that Annabeth takes her hat off and she's there listening to the entire conversation. Yeah.
Because Annabeth and Luke were even closer.
Thick as thieves. So that was like betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the prophecy coming true. You will be betrayed by one you call friend. And he called mm-hmm. Luke friend, and Luke betrayed him.
Now, something I do want to bring up here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's super ironic that Percy reacts the way he does, because basically what Luke is saying is the way Percy feels. And Percy, in a perfect world, I feel like, would probably side with Luke in this.
Correct.
If it wasn't about betraying his newfound family and friends that he has in the world of the gods.
Correct. Percy very much agrees that how the gods treat their children is incorrect.
Yep.
But he doesn't want to go about it the way Luke is.
The way that Luke is. He doesn't want to release Kronos. He wants to just flip off the middle finger and raise it to the sky. But not burn the world down.
Correct. And I think it's really interesting I'm glad you brought that up, because it's really like how, you know, sometimes we fight for social change within our own society. You know, there is peaceful protesting versus like violent protests. And this is kind of like almost like revolution or protesting. Mm-hmm. I guess it's probably a much better analogy.
Right.
And while Percy wants that revolution, like agrees with the revolutionary ideals, he doesn't like the way it's going about doing it. Mm-hmm. So maybe he'll be able to enact change a different way.
Whole point of the series, probably.
Yeah. But I was really happy with how it ended. I think they did a good job. I like that they sent Percy back out with his mom at the end there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because camp is just a temporary thing. It's a camp. It's not like where you live full time, right?
So that's kind of the interesting thing with this. I'm pretty sure a lot of them live there full time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If I remember correctly, because like some of them don't really have homes, but I'm like maybe getting some of the Roman series where Percy is involved in that, and Percy and Annabeth and crew are involved in that series too. I may be getting those wires crossed in my mind though.
Hmm. But I mean, it also does make sense that Percy leaves that world to go back to the world he fought so hard to get back, which is his mom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. The Sea of Monsters gonna be great. Can't wait for that series, and hopefully we'll get more monsters. We'll get to meet Titus, who you'll love. Oh, also Grover at the end of this is now a seeker, which is
looking for Pan,
and that's gonna be fantastic.
Percy's stepdad gets turned to stone because he opens the box at the end. I'm not sure if you saw it's an after credit scene. Where he opens up the box, it's Medusa's head mailed back to Percy, and he gets turned to stone.
Oh.
So it's really funny.
Yeah. Whatever. I didn't see that, but that's okay. I hope we also get to meet more gods next season as well. At least maybe a little bit. Yes,
I would love to see more gods.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm not quite, as I said, I don't remember all the books super well. I remember the whole overarching story pretty well, but... yeah, we will definitely get more Luke next time, and it'll be fun. And there are people who left with Luke, so keep that in mind, too.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't alone. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our coverage of Percy Jackson and the Olympians for season one, because season two has been confirmed.
Woo, 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 woo.
Already to be happening, so that is exciting. We will actually get a continuation of this story. So Mike and I will cover that when that comes out.
Yeah.
But... next up, we are going to get away from the series and actually dive into a movie.
Damsel.
What movie, you might ask? Mike already said Damsel. We're going to watch Damsel on Netflix.
I have already watched it.
Oh, I'm going to watch Damsel on Netflix, and then we'll make an episode about it. Yeah. But
I'm excited to have a conversation with you about it. And it's cool to see, you know, fantasy movies still getting kind of produced and brought up.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely excited to talk about this standalone universe with you.
Very cool. I'm excited to watch it. Well, it's going to be Two Nerds signing off. See ya.
See ya.